Hey everyone, this is Todd. Before we start the show today, we're testing the Blueberry's advertising injection system. So I placed this spot in front of a number of my shows. So we'll have this up temporarily for a few weeks as we're testing the system. And that being said, I want to encourage each of you that are listening to the show today to visit our sponsor, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Now we'll get on with the regular program.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new media production studios in Southern Michigan. In the show today, installer services of everyday electronics and household goods. Can they be trusted? Russia warns of a cyber war, but did the New York Times release government secrets? Has iOS 12 been hacked? Spotify is starting to monetize podcasts without podcaster compensation. I want to welcome you to episode 1376 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 17th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. Make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, get subscribed to the show. You can do that right in the right-hand column of the website. Once you've done that, definitely take a look for the newsletter link as well. We want you to get subscribed to the newsletter so you'd get delivered the show notes directly to your inbox immediately following the show. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during the show and all the hot links to those articles. You can watch the show on the Apple TV, or you can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword, play the podcast, Geek News Central. Of course, you can say the keyword to launch your device and then say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or join our Slack channel by sending me an email directly at geeknews@gmail.com. Or follow me and send me a note on Twitter at Geek News. You can follow me on Facebook as well, just searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor, the Pro Gear site, the new media show, and podcast legends. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show, of course, is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com, and they're the longest-running continuous sponsor of a podcast. We've well passed them having now sponsored the show for 14 straight years, which is truly an absolute incredible achievement. And we want to make sure that you get all the best deals that are available at GoDaddy by visiting my page at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a $499.com, whether it be 1 year of managed WordPress hosting or 1 year of economy hosting, get you started for $12. And both of those offers include a free domain. Best deal in the web space right here at Geek News Central at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Of course, don't forget about our website builder. For those of you who have businesses that are looking to expand or change up your websites, no web experience needed. The website builder is just that. A service that allows you to build a website, modular, put in what you need, add a shopping cart, you name it, they've got it via the website builder site. Get a free 30-day trial. All my deals, again, are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to continue thank you for GoDaddy for their support. We did get the numbers in for May, and we came in okay. Wasn't superstar stuff, but definitely appreciate GoDaddy's ongoing support. And for those of you to continue to link to the webpage, talk about it in social, share the codes with your family members and friends, it's greatly, greatly appreciated and really makes a big difference when it comes to getting the show put on the street and allowing me to do what I do here. So definitely check everything out again at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. So everyone, to catch you up on what's going on here, last show I was in Cleveland, had driven up there, did the show from the hotel room. The next morning, I visited Audimute and had a great, about a two-hour meeting with their staff and with some of the external team members. I was really, really excited about their product line. And actually made an appointment, and some of their team, actually not the Audimute team, but some of their design partners were here in the new studio space today, taking pictures, making measurements. They drove over from Cleveland. I really appreciate it. We're going to get some mock-ups of some ideas we've got. It's pretty exciting stuff here. And considering the schedule, it's well outlined. So anyway, got back from Cleveland on Friday afternoon. Came in immediately and did some work here in the studio, primarily moving shelving and get everything in here that I needed to basically go to work on Saturday morning. And I spent pretty much all day Saturday putting up shelving, putting together my desk, getting my computer set up. Actually, a little scared with my iMac. Got everything all set up. Thought I plugged it in. It had not. And I went to turn it on and it didn't come on. And I kept pushing the power button, was freaking out. And yeah, I hadn't plugged it in. So once it was plugged in, it came right up like it was supposed to. And I calmed down a little bit, but I was definitely in panic mode there for about 30 to 45 seconds. Of course, it was, you know, one of the items that I had shipped. So essentially, that was Saturday. Got everything kind of set up here. Got the Rodecaster right on the desk. Able to do the show right here from the studio office. I'm sure you can hear a little bit of echo. I'm actually in the front part of the office. If you've been watching my Facebook page, you've been seeing some updates. Did painting on Sunday. Painted the front of the office in the hallway. My mom helped out with the trim, bless her heart. And basically, it looks pretty doggone good. I've had some compliments from people that have been in here. Use a semi-gloss eggshell color. So overall, I'm pretty happy where we're at with the space. And boy, there's a lot of work to do yet, though. I have the plumber is coming tomorrow morning at 8:30 to cut away and plug those extra lines to free up that space so we can finish up the ceiling. I've got the green screen paint. I'm going to paint the green screen on Tuesday evening. I've got an interview in the early evening, so after a regular JOB day from Raw Voice Blueberry, I'll get that painted before the interview. Probably sit here and do the inner paint and partly green paint. And then I'll be pretty much done until the container gets here. The studio walls and stuff we're going to leave blank for now because the design team's going to come up with some ideas. I'm just kind of a little bit frustrated. The container was in Gary, Indiana yesterday, which is like 40 miles south of where I am. And then it was reported about 5:30 this evening to be in West Ohio, which the distance between those two spots is not that far. I would expect it to have hit Detroit already, but it's moving awful slow. So I'm assuming the train is going to go through Toledo, then up into Detroit. So I'm just got my fingers crossed here that I'm going to get this container before the weekend. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm kind of at the mercy of the trucking company, too, on the other side. But I've got a heavy, 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 heavy schedule lined up. And really, it's if I don't get that container on Friday, it's going to really put a damper on things. But all I can do is I can do what I can do, right? And get as much done as possible. And then really, really go from there at that point. So from that point, been kind of, doing a little bit of accounting here. So far, I think I've got about $3,000 invested in getting the studio ready. There's obviously some more money that's going to have to be spent to be ready for, for the rest of the stuff. But again, we're probably at least a month away from going back to video, just based on my travel and what's left to do in here. Which, kind of saddens me a little bit. But I think when we do go, I think you guys are going to be really blown away. I'm pretty excited about the potential here. and the design team is promising a quick turnaround with everything, and we should be have some ideas on what to do. They're even going to make furniture suggestions as well. They're in here measuring everything up, and basically I'm at a point now where I've done what I can do, and just the studio spaces then have to be finished, and of course whatever's left there. So, and I may just paint anyway, because if there's going to be wall decorations and stuff, those can go up later. And we're kind of talking about some background colors, so I think I have an idea where I'm going to go there. Other than that, if everything goes good, I leave here a week from today. No, I'll be a week from today, and then it may be as much as a month before I'm back in Michigan due to my travel schedule and meetings and everything else that's going to be happening. And then, of course, trying to split my time in Columbus and getting things done down there as well. But thanks for being along for the ride here. This has been quite the adventure. And very, very excited about where this is headed and what we're going to be doing, not only in the studio here in Michigan, but also what's going to be put together in the studio down in Columbus when I'll be going live down there for the show as well. So anyway, that's what's going on. Got you all caught up. Let's get into the content tonight. News been a little thin last week or so. Been watching it, and Kirk went through, and then he said it was a little light, and even I went searching for additional articles and didn't come up with a lot more than what he had found. So it is what it is. But I want to talk about something that I noticed when I was ordering some of this stuff that needed to be put together. As an example, the alarm system, when I bought that, when I bought the shelving units, I was getting quotes by Amazon, hey, you want this professionally assembled? And they were quoting me prices. And I'm thinking, I really don't need anyone to put shelves together. I definitely thought about it on the security system. But I'm thinking, okay, so what if I had said, yes, I want help with installation? Who do they bring in? Who do they job that out to? And I read an article here on CNET talking about how Dish wants to set up your smart home gadgets for you. You don't even have to be a Dish customer. For a flat fee, Dish's new One OnTech service will send a technician to your home to set up devices like your Google Nest, a Ring, Linksys, Wemo, Yale, a whole bunch of different products. And they charge you a flat fee of about $99. And I got to thinking about that a little bit. I'm like, $99? And I guess it depends on what they're going to set up and how they're going to, what is required in wiring. If stuff is wireless, if it needs to be mounted, you know, different types of TV mounting services, and how much of that is being outsourced to local contractors. I just don't know if I want any Dick, Tom, or Harry coming into my home to install stuff if I don't know who they are, who they're backed by. You know, you have no choice but to let the cable guy in and do his thing. But what about, you know, these run-of-the-mill night groups that are doing installs? Did I want to spend 5 or 6 hours installing these shelving units? No. I got one together, and it's okay. They went together pretty fast. But I could have been doing other things, but I wasn't willing to fork out the amount of cash and wait for someone to come do it. It seemed kind of silly to me. You know, it was just shelving units, right? You snap it together, beat it with a hammer, and it goes together pretty quick. But I keep seeing more of this out there. What do you guys think? Do you want someone coming to your home and installing your electronics or putting together a shelving unit? I can see where there would be a use case for this, someone that maybe is elderly, or someone that maybe is physically handicapped, can't do the work, but wants something installed. So I get that point, but I just wonder who we're letting into our homes and businesses. And I'm, you know, I'm kind of sensitive here right now. I'm taking you through the interior view of the studio, and You know, so that's that will, you know, continue. But, you know, I'm not really publicizing the external location that much. And someone's going to have to dig for that info. But I just, it's an interesting time here for sure. Moving on to the next story, Russia's warning of cyber war following report of U.S. that the U.S. attacked its power grid. And I really wonder about this. 2 days after the New York Times reported that the U.S. Cyber Command, the arm of the Pentagon that runs the military's offensive and defensive operations in the online world, was aggressively stepping up its targeting of Russia's power grid, that report said the command had taken steps to place potentially crippling malware inside Russian systems at a depth with an aggressiveness that had not been tried before. Now, who leaked that? Who leaked that information? This is obviously, in my opinion, very heavily classified information. If they got this from a source that had insider knowledge, is the New York Times now guilty of knowingly publish classified information which potentially hurts the United States and causes aggressiveness back by the Russian government? Now, some folks had cast doubt on the reporting, but the publication had said they had no classified information dealing into how deep into the Russia's infrastructure the U.S. had gone, but it had reported this anyway. I just really wonder here if the New York Times is, you know, are they a good faith character here in the United States? I know they're not under, you know, any rules, but common sense dictates. If someone had published, if it had been World War II, and someone had published that we were planning or had done an attack on, you know, or planning an attack for D-Day, and let the cat out of the bag, there would have been, I can't even imagine the fury of the American public. Yet the New York Times just willy-nilly publishes this information. And of course, now the Kremlin is going to go look deep into their systems and see if they've been hacked. I'm just, I'm very disappointed in the media and how they're reporting on potentially very sensitive operations that are going on, and even more disgusted that some official, some tech, someone who is a do-gooder, who has signed the same security disclosure forms I had for many years, that basically said, you shall not do that. And yet, leaking classified information. It blows me away where we're at in this time and age and how people will sell out their country so simply. It's pretty disgusting, to be frank. Then on the other side of the aisle here, you've got the company out of Israel called Cellebrit, and they gained attention when it was revealed they had managed to crack Apple's iPhones, allowing them to gain access to the contents of the device. Well, they say they've done it again. And they say that any iPhone or iPad is no longer safe from Cellebrit's system. This also means that law enforcement agencies who use Cellebrit's products will be able to easily extract information from the iOS devices belonging to a suspect without needing their explicit consent. Apple has yet to respond to these claims, although we imagine that that they probably aren't too thrilled about this and will be looking ways to fix it. So it's, again, a whack-a-mole type of situation here, but no system is completely secure. And this is just another proof that there's challenges out there in keeping operating systems locked down. Spotify has long allowed advertisers to target free tier listeners by genre or playlist, but is providing much more detailed targeting for those looking to advertise in podcasts. Spotify continues to build out its podcast products, now offering more specific targeting options to advertisers. They'll be able to target ads to listeners based on the type of podcast they stream. And so anyway, they're going after categories of content. And Spotify's making this targeting option available to advertisers in 10 markets across the globe, including the United States, the UK, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Mexico, and Australia. But at the same time, what we have now is we have Spotify running ad in between podcasts, and podcasters not earning a dime of that. If this had been 10 years ago, podcasters would have been crying foul. It just shows you the change in the space and the change of the mindset that podcasters don't care that they're being monetized around. It does make you go, just a little bit. And we'll see what happens over the long run. But if you're listening to podcasts on Spotify and you hear a podcast ad that doesn't sound like it came from the podcast host running in between content, please, please let me know about that. Send me an email. Tell me who the advertiser was. I'd like to know just from an internal tracking standpoint. So what do you think about that, being targeted on Spotify? Of course, in this show, we're using the category to target you, so it's not much different, to be honest with you. The ACLU is saying police must get warrants to obtain personal data from cars. It's telling a court that black boxes are covered by the Fourth Amendment. You might think of your car as a treasure trove of personal data, but it frequently is, and I think about this new car I have. It's got all this kind of data. You know, it's got nav data, it's got listening data. Of course, there's a black box that has speed information, braking information, all kinds of stuff. Well, according to the ACLU, after a deadly car crash, Georgia's police downloaded the data from the event data recorder on this individual's car to determine his speed before the crash, using that to level more severe accusations against him. Georgia has contended that this was legal under the Fourth Amendment's vehicle exception, allowing searches for physical items, but the ACLU believes this doesn't count for digital data. It likened this to requiring a warrant for phone data. Just because the device holding the data is obtainable without a warrant doesn't mean the data is also up for grabs. Now, there's no certainty that the court will take the ACLU's briefing into account. The decision could have a significant impact on how police search car data, and the verdict is likely to become more important over time as connected and self-driving cars take hold. So let's be very, very aware that these black boxes are tracking lots of information on you. Braking aggressiveness, you know, GPS data, speed, you name it. Even steering wheel control actions, if you've got a lane assist, all that stuff's in the brain, having been tracked. How much is in there? The manufacturers have never said, but you would assume quite a little bit. Over on space.com, a new website replaced Apollo 11's first moon landing mission in real time. With just a single click, this new website can take you back 50 years and place you directly into the real-time action of the first moon landing mission. But if Apollo 11 in real time creator Ben Feist has gotten it right, you're going to want to click many more times than just once, as you can unfold and dig into the mission. So it's the most deep and wide rabbit hole of information that this guy could put together. And he says, I try to make it rewarding to explore. It's called apolloinrealtime.org. So it plays it back as it happens, second by second. And this website coverage began 20 hours before the launch, which took place on July 16th, 1969, and continued to just after Neil Armstrong and Michael Collins stepped aboard the USS Hornet recovery ship on July 24th. It does so using all of and the only media from mission photos, film footage, television broadcasts, and more, all synchronized to ground elapsed time, the mission's master clock. So sounds pretty cool here. And again, the site goes far beyond organizing known media. Apollo 11 in real time presents tens of thousands of hours of audio, and where it exists, the corresponding footage has rarely been seen, hasn't been accessible until now. So this is pretty crazy stuff here. It's going to be a good good run. Now, the centerpiece of the website is 11,000 hours of mission control audio, and it's been synced to the mission clock as well. So this is a very exciting website to check out. Again, the link will be up in the show notes. Apollo's Tim Cook throws some shade at Silicon Valley in a Stanford speech. He called out Silicon Valley, which he says traces its roots back to Stanford, for taking credit without accepting responsibility. He brought up data breaches, privacy violations, and false promises of miracles. Although the Apple CEO didn't name specific companies, he did have a term to what these businesses are producing. He says, it feels a bit crazy that anyone should have to say this, but if you build a chaos factory, you can't dodge responsibility for the chaos. Taking responsibility means having the courage to think things through. And he continued to talk about the chilling effects of digital surveillance. And this is something that's kind of interesting and worth noting here. He says, in a world without digital privacy, even if you have done nothing wrong other than think differently, you begin to censor yourself. He said, not entirely at first, just a little bit by bit. To risk less, to hope less, to imagine less, to dare less, to create less, to try less, to talk less, to think less. You know, privacy has been a focus of Apple and, of course, this new sign-in thing they've got. But, you know, some of the companies founded by Stanford graduates include Google, WhatsApp, YouTube, Intel, Netflix, Instagram, LinkedIn, Yahoo. So, an interesting statement here. Chaos. A chaos machine or chaos factory. That's Silicon Valley. Well, that's a bit true, isn't it? Bit true. Sprint is joining AT&T and Verizon, offering its own tile-like tracking device, available for $2.50 per month for 24 months, total of $60. And I don't know how much the device costs, but it's, again, you can attach it to a backpack, put it on your dog's collar, keep it in a suitcase, stick it in a car, track where that vehicle, track where your spouse is, you name it, they have it. Over on The Verge, First Amendment constraints don't apply to private platforms. So listen to this again. First Amendment constraints don't apply to private platforms, according to the Supreme Court. This is one that had people really, really worried, which I had not heard about. So the court, the case, which a conservative wing of the court decided in a split 5-4 ruling, centered around a Manhattan-based nonprofit tasked by the New York City with operating public access channels in the area. The organization disciplined two producers after a film led to complaints, which the producers argued was a violation of their First Amendment speech rights. The case turned on whether the nonprofit was a state actor running a platform governed by First Amendment constraints. Well, the court said no. You weren't. You weren't a state actor. Even though you were being paid by the city of New York, you weren't actually the state doing this. So it was okay to discipline the two producers. Whatever that content was, I don't know. But they were within their rights to do that. The liberal justices on the court, in a dissenting ruling, argued instead that the terms under which the nonprofit ran the channel for the city should have bound it to First Amendment constraints. The nonprofit, Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote, stepped into the city's shoes and thus qualifies as a state actor subject to the First Amendment like any other. But again, the ruling went 5-4 to the other ruling. Twitch is not happy. Twitch is suing to unmask trolls that posted violent and pornographic streams. So apparently, the Amazon-owned gaming streaming company Twitch is going after about 100 John and Jane Does, which posted videos filmed by the Christchurch shooter. Trolls also stream porn, copyrighted movies, and television shows and other illegal, harmful content over the weekend of May 25th. And they were actually putting this content in the Artifact Game Directory to share content, as they said, that grossly violated their terms. So they're trying to dig out who these people are and go after to ban them and to prosecute them and retain recover monetary damages for abuse of the service, I guess. The NASA spacecraft that is out there, the OSIRIS-REx, just sampled its closest picture yet of a Bennu, B-E-N-N-U, the deep space rock it's been hovering around since the end of last year. They reduced their altitude to 0.4 miles off the surface of the asteroid and are snapping some pretty incredible pictures. Well, I'm just going to tell you, it's a rock with lots of rocks. So a link will be up in the show notes on that one. AT&T is going to be cutting another 18,000 jobs as it finishes its fiber internet build-out. These jobs are in addition to the 23,000 jobs AT&T cut since December of 2017. And it's primarily jobs in its wireline division. AT&T has built out the fiber that it was required to as part of its acquisition of Dish. So now they're going to build where they think they should build and where monetarily it makes sense. So a lot of AT&T folks headed towards the unemployment line. A few, as many as 55 of those folks, may be reassigned. Comcast has built an eye control remote to help users with movement control. In an attempt to improve the accessibility of its service, they announced the launch of a feature that will allow users to basically control their television only using their eyes. The Xfinity X1 Eye Control will give Comcast customers the ability to do things like change a channel, set up recordings, search for a specific show, and more just by moving the eye. The feature is free and accessible through xfin.tv/access. People are saying, is voice overhyped? A new survey suggests lower adoption than previously thought. And what I mean by voice is voice assistant use frequency. 46% of people said they've never used it, 16% daily, 13% weekly, 6% monthly, rarely is 19%. I'm one of those folks that use it daily, but much to my chagrin, Siri is absolutely horrible. She gets about 50% of the words correct. I'm not a big fan, but sometimes I just have no choice. I'm on the move or something. But device choice for virtual assistant usage is obviously the highest in smartphones, followed by smart speakers, desktops, in-car and entertainment systems, wearables, and iPhone outpaces Android. But Android is much better with voice control, for sure. How's your luck with voice control? Is it just, are you totally frustrated with it? Are you having luck? What system do you use? Geeknews@gmail.com. Appreciate your comments. Domino's will now deliver pizza via self-driving robots in Houston. So they're adopting to get your pizza to you even quicker. It's trying out some new tech. So customers in Houston should be able to get their Domino's pizza delivered to them in a self-driving robot. What do you have to do? You got to go out to the car, out to the vehicle and get it? Huh. Customers will need to order pizza as they normally would. And if they're within the area the Neuro can drive, they'll be given an option to have their order delivered by robot. So in other words, you got to go out to the vehicle and get it. No way's coming to the door. Some of us are lazy. We don't want to go out, right? It's snowing. It's raining. We want to pay for that service. So give that driver a tip to have him bring in here. You know, one thing I'm getting used to again, in Hawaii, we don't have too many flies. In Michigan, I've got two or three here in the office. It's driving me crazy. I'm going to have to get a fly swatter. I got one here. See if I can catch him. No, missed him. My skills are down. Ninja skills and catching flies are down. But he's buzzing me, driving me, dive bombing and driving me crazy. Fly swatter is going to be on order here. Or you need to find a magazine or something. It sure likes this monitor. Get away from there. Okay, so all 2021 iPhones said to feature 5G support. So it's not going to happen until next year. And it's taking its time in supporting next generation network. Of course, it's being very slow to roll out. So maybe they're being smart and waiting to next year. Something very interesting, too, on the next Chrome release. They're going to make bypassing paywalls easier. Wow, this is interesting. Most major publications rely on paywalls to drive subscriptions, offer visitors a number of free articles per month. Once your quota for the month is finished up, you can either wait until next month or subscribe. That's the way it is with the New York Times. I think you get 10. I very rarely ever hit my limit. It tells you how important that website is to me. One way users got around this paywall was using the incognito mode. But developers later added some code to check if the visitor was using incognito mode. If it was detected, they wouldn't even be allowed to read the free articles. The next Chrome release will make it easier to bypass this restriction. So that's an interesting move here. So Build 76 coming later this month will get you around those paywall features. Samsung is sending out a security reminder. Basically, you need to check for viruses on your Samsung televisions. Why aren't they doing this by themselves? Anyway, Samsung is reminding owners of smart TVs they should be regularly scanning for malware using its built-in virus scanning software. They say prevent malicious software attacks on your TV by scanning for viruses on your TV every few weeks. Again, why? There was a video from the now-deleted tweet that basically demonstrated this intensive process. Again, why doesn't Samsung automate this process? Many people don't even know how to turn off their televisions, let alone run virus scanning. Wow. And some smart TVs are pretty dumb. But they're warning you have to run malware scans every couple of weeks. That's scary, isn't it? Especially if your television has a camera in it. I got one of those TCL Roku TVs here for the office. And because I got a combo package by the cable company, it was cheaper that way. I think I get 21 channels. And it's a cheap TV, very cheap, but it's, how should I say it? I'm not overly impressed, but I guess you get your money, it's cheap for a reason, right? I think I've had it turned on once, so it's not really in a place where I can see it that well either, but that will change as we start getting some furniture in here. The FCC task force will help connect farms and ranches. And they're putting $166 million up. What's that going to do? Wire one county? You know, come on. We know I've already demonstrated for you here how bad broadband is for rural America. You know, I mean, I'm just a lousy 13 miles away from the house. And it's a difference between 400 down, 20 up, and 15 down and 3 up, just 12 miles, you know, and it's the difference between have and have nots. It's painful. You know, I've been on a MiFi in the in New York studio and, you know, having to really watch how much bandwidth I'm using, not watching any videos. The group DMCI, I haven't scheduled them to come out yet because of my schedule. I figured, well, if I'm leaving a week from today, and not going to be here for a month, why pay for a month of internet service when I'm not even going to be home? Save that $90 and that $200-some installation fee for another month and month and a half down the road. And maybe by then I'll be moved into the regular apartment. So I've delayed that install at this point. But this initiative by the FCC is meant to support the deployment of broadband across farms and ranches. It's called the Precision Ag Connectivity Task Force. And they're going to be working with the USDA and public and private sector stakeholders. They're responsible for developing policy, recommendations for rural agricultural-focused broadband. And, you know, I'm really laughing here. This Jit Pai says, as I've traveled the country, I've seen the amazing efficiency, innovation, improvements that high-speed internet brings to today's farms and ranches. This is the present future for American agriculture, and we must do whatever we can to support these producers and enhance precision agriculture. It's a pipe dream. You know, the closest, okay, from where I live, the closest guy that has a farmhouse with tractors and, you know, everything is about a half mile. And the next one closest to him is about another half mile. And I just think about the cost to bring in broadband. If it's wired, it's going to be astronomical. The payback to the cable companies to maintain and support that is, you know, many, many years. because it's very expensive to drop in. And wireless has been proven to be very slow. I just don't know how they're ever going to get this done. You know, it should be a national initiative. It really should. Anytime a road is worked on, repaved, they come in and lay gravel, whatever they do, whatever road work is done, drainage ditches are cleaned or whatever, they should be mandated to put in, to drop fiber in. It just should be part of it. It should be required. So maybe, you know, at least the infrastructure will start to get be put in. So within the next 10 years or 15 years, as roads are reworked on, this still start to be interconnected. And the cost will be effective because they've done it during major construction work. I know some roads don't get touched for many, many years. But when they do, let's bring fiber down the doggone road. Let's drop it in. It can't cost that much more when they're reworking a road, repaving, or whatever they may be doing. I just, to me, it's like, why wouldn't we be doing this? And of course, it's usually state entities that are repaving roads. So then the states can use that as rent those lines, get some money back from that infrastructure install. You know, it becomes a revenue center. This is not complicated, but you know, yes, it may take many, many years, but at least we get started and be able to get wired up. You know, and then let people pay to bring in. You know, that's like seeing how much it's going to cost to get broadband brought in. I know it's not in the budget right now, but at least I have a number. If I get a number, I can go back and say, hey, let's have a Kickstarter or, you know, let's do something here. But it's, you know, at least for the next couple of years, it's going to be cheaper for me to rent this space and have connectivity. As long as the sponsor stuff keeps up, we'll be able to continue to do what we're doing here. So, enough on that. Your insider donations are greatly appreciated. There's a good article about see how a futuristic home is helping a wounded warrior and how it has life-changing effects. And it's a great rundown of what they've done with building a custom home for a wounded warrior. It's really incredible what they have done here. So I want you guys to check it out. It's a heartwarming, and this is what the future can bring for those that are handicapped, for people that are born this way or incur some sort of injury. So just talks about what they've done in the home, and it's only going to get smarter over time. And just small touches that they've done to the design work to basically make this home more livable for this injured retired Marine sergeant. So link will be up in the show notes. One thing I did learn here, folks, though, I have to be more descriptive when I asked for a haircut. Went to get a haircut, and I told him zero high with a five on top, and I ended up with pretty close to high and tight. When I told my the barbers I go to on a regular basis in Hawaii, they would, you know, zero high would mean they would go about three quarters up and then leave some hair and then not make me look like a Marine. But I'm walking around looking like a Marine right now. I had to giggle after the haircut was over. You know, it all grows back. So next time I'll give him a little more instruction in how I want it. But pretty impressive haircut I'm carrying right now. Huawei, U.S. ban may cost them $30 billion, but they vow to rebound. So that's a lot of money, $30 billion over the next 2 years, and we will see where that leads. American Airlines is going to start offering satellite Wi-Fi across its mainline fleet. So this will cover about 700 aircraft the company typically uses to fly domestic routes. It also means that passengers on board these flights will have access to 12 free channels of live TV and that they'll be able to stream during the duration of flight onto their devices. Stream, really? Video? I doubt it. So, my time in the airplane is precious to me. It's when I'm able to read and disconnect and take some downtime and Anyway, that's where I'm at. Hey, an article over on Geek News Central I want to point your attention to talks about fake profiles on LinkedIn. And, you know, the story goes that Katie Jones doesn't exist, but she may have contacted you on LinkedIn. The Associated Press reported that Katie Jones' persona was part of a vast army of phantom profiles on LinkedIn. Experts believe that Katie Jones' image was created by a computer program. According to some of the experts the Associated Press spoke with, fake LinkedIn profiles like the one are part of an espionage operation. So be careful. And you know, I have people request access on LinkedIn all the time. And I'd look at their profile. If they seem like they're from a legitimate company, I add them. You know, it's about networking. But how many of those do I know are fake? I have no clue. I know a lot of them send me a message immediately, and I really find that very annoying. But that's just part of the online process. All right, we're going to wrap the show up here. Again, a little short on the show time just because of lack of content. But I want to thank you all for being here. How do you guys think the show's going? I've got some emails. I should have read those at the beginning. I apologize. My brain is not working. I was telling my mom, I went back to the house and had dinner with her. And I just told her, I said, I'm zonked. She goes, well, you know, you're living a different lifestyle now. Things are a little slower. You don't have to go 80 miles an hour. And I'm thinking about it. And what it is, those 3 hours I used to be in the car, I'm now working those additional 3 hours when I don't really totally have to be doing so. So I need to learn to manage my time just a little bit here and not put in 12-hour days every day. It's okay to put in 8 or 9 and then walk away. It's not my nature, but it's just one of those things of me that I'm, you know, so ingrained in having to get done a lot in a limited amount of time because I spend so much time on the road and that road time is gone. It's literally a 10-minute commute to the office, no traffic whatsoever. So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's like this morning I walked in here at 7:30 in the morning. It was just because I was up, I got showered, I ate breakfast, and I'm looking at myself, what do we do now? And I'm like, well, let's go to the office. And, it's just, I have to put myself in a different mindset. I got an email from Andy. He says, hey, Todd, I know you're moving. Yes, I've moved, Andy. What about your house and its solar panels? Have you considered setting a garage to mine Bitcoin using the panels to subsidize the cost of electricity? Well, based on my wife's electric car, Andy, and the number of people in the house, they're still carrying an electric bill because they're using too much power. And they have a bill. And we'll see what happens when the electric car gets replaced with a hybrid. If it, if the bill goes down, I'm hoping she'll get a hybrid that still qualifies as an electric vehicle, but not have to plug in as much. We'll see what she decides to get in November. But that's kind of the reason for that, Andy. Just not enough excess power. Now, if I was selling the house, we'd have left the panels on there because it's worth more with it on. Hey, I do want to say one thing too is I made a mistake on the last show. We are testing the injection system, and many of you heard the ad injection today for this show. But on the last show, I didn't edit the front of the show, and then there was 2 or 3 seconds of dead air time there. You heard me fumbling around. So I apologize in not getting that tighter. That won't be the case tonight, but just kind of a learning process here. Anyway, I want to thank everyone for being part of the Ohana here. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to send the email. Be back with you Thursday. Hopefully we have an update. Hopefully we have a container here or on the way. I will be in ultimate freakout mode if we don't have the container here by Friday. I can get it emptied in a couple of days and be on my way Monday morning, but my stress level continues to rise. I'm sure it's all going to work out, but it's the unknown. I can't call anybody, right? And once it's in Detroit, though, I can fire up the telephone lines and push. But I can't push a train that has a container on it, transversing. So and the weather here has been crap. The poor farmers can't get their crops in. It's it's very dire just because it's so wet. So anyway, I think that's it. We're here in the new media production studios. So I guess you've got the word here. We've named the place. And so I'm excited about that. And excited for the future of what this potential location will bring. But for now, we just need to get up and running with the normal content and get things built. I'm really pushing for a wow factor. I really want this these sets to be, when people walk in and visually, I want them to say, whoa. And I want you to say, whoa, when we get done. You definitely have a limited amount of screen area to express that. So we'll see what happens here. And as I was telling the design people tonight, I'm like, depending on where we put the cameras, will depend on what is going to be in the shot. And depending on how close we have to zoom, so keep that all in mind. And I'm holding my arms apart. And I'm saying, this is about, you know, about 5 feet. This will be typically 5 to 6 feet will be the view angle of what you will see behind me. And so anyway, it was a fun conversation. We'll see what goes. We'll see what they come up with. If you have ideas, you've seen the Facebook videos, drop me a line here, geeknews@gmail.com. Please continue to support the sponsor, GoDaddy. It's really the lifeblood of this show at this point. And if you are considering becoming an insider, it's time. geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's been my pleasure bringing the show. We'll be back here on Thursday. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.